We're in Piska Lamed Tet. We're having a special shiur in honor of Yom Tov, and I looked in the index, and I found where Rav Kook in our Sefer Einayah on Masechet Shabbat, where he talks about Yom Tov, a very very interesting piska in Siman Lamed Tet. It was on the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph. Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael. Yotze Adam b'tfilin erev Shabbat im chashecha. A person's allowed to go out, even though you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbat, you're allowed to go out, even a couple minutes before Shabbat, in your tefillin. And we're not choshesh, we don't worry about, maybe you'll forget about the tefillin to take them off. My taima, why is this? Why are you allowed to wear tefillin right before the Shabbat? Kevan da amar rabba barav huna chayav adam l'mashmesh b'tfilin kol sha'a v'sha'a, kal v'chomer mitzitz. Right? We learn a kal v'chomer from the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol had on his head, the golden head plate that he had on his head, where it said, Kodesh liyud ke vavke, Kodesh l'Hashem. Matzitz she'en bo'el azkara achat, amra Torah ve'aya al mitzchot tamid, shelo yaseach da'ato mimenu. There is a mitzvah that a Kohen Gadol can't lose concentration, has to always have kavanah on the tzitz, right? He has God's name, special name, Yud Kei Vav Kei on his head. Tfilin sheyesh b'mazkarot arbe al achad kama v'kama. The tfilin which has so many Yud Kei Vav Kei, so many of God's names on him, how much more so does a person have to make sure that he doesn't lose his concentration on tfilin? And there's something which we find in the Rishonim, Ad Kedei Kach, that even offhand, I remember 3-4 Rishonim who talk about the phenomena that in their time, Jewish people, Shomrei Shabbat, religious people, were scared to wear tefillin. Because they said, how can I keep my mind on tefillin all the time? How can I keep foreign thoughts from coming in? And the Sefer HaChinuch writes about it, and Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfot writes about it, and Rabbi Yehuda HaChassidim Sefer HaChassidim writes about it. I think the Rashba, the Smug definitely writes about it. In different places, and a lot of different places in Europe, they all testified to the fact that there are a heck of a lot of Jews, it might have even been the norm, not to wear tefillin.
Bichlal.
Exactly, bichlal. People didn't have tefillin in their houses. And I think we once mentioned in the shiur, it's like there's some one of the most common excuses for not making aliyah in the Haredi community is that I'm not holy enough to live in the Holy Land. I'm not on such a high madrega, and you see, mamash a parallel.
That people don't know how to do people can't do all those mitzvot, and nobody knows how to do them.
Yeah, but so it's mamash the same thing regarding tefillin, that obviously you have to keep your mind as much as possible on the task, on the tefillin, just like on the tzitz, and do the tefillin. If somebody has difficulty concentrating, so you put it on before Birchot Kriyat Shema, you take it off right after Shmona Esrei, but there's the minimum that you have to do.
Isn't the basic question of mitzvot, tzifot, kavanah, or no?
No, that's something else. That's regarding whether you're yotze.
And even then, on a very basic level. So if someone's aware they're wearing tefillin, I don't understand the time of I'm not holy enough or whatever. Because then you could say that.
Because you're right, Baruch Hashem.
You could say that on Shabbos. You know,
you're right.
I'm not holy enough. Let's not keep Shabbos.
You're right. You're right. Baruch Hashem, you have a good, healthy understanding.
No, but there's a special.
But it's a misplaced humility.
And there's a special requirement for feeling that.
Yeah.
And some of you've got ADD bouncing off walls, and you know.
So you do what you can. Okay. What does Rav Kook do with this? Apparently, this seems to be a very halachic Gemara. But nevertheless, Rav Kook, in his commentary on Ein Ayah, on the Midrashim, deals with this idea. Again, what does the Gemara say? That a person is allowed to wear tefillin until right before the entrance of Shabbat. Okay? We don't worry that he'll forget to take them off. Hatfilin hem miyuchadim limei hachol. This is something that I don't know if it's a common feeling. I always feel after 7 days of Chol HaMoed, the first time I put on tefillin afterwards, something was missing. And Rav Kook says the tefillin is something which really is dedicated for Yemei Chol. Yatzu Shabbat v'Yom Tov Shema Atzman Ot. Chazal tell us in Masechet Minachot that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbat and Yom Tov because they themselves are a sign between us and God, a reminder, and therefore we don't need the tefillin. But we do wear tefillin when we don't have that special sign of Shabbat and Yom Tov. In other words, tefillin fills a certain gap, a certain void, which we don't have on Chol, which we do have on Yom Tov and Shabbat. Okay, that's the direction where Rav Kook is going. Maybe I'll add another thing before I forget, because I think it's a very important concept. Although Rav Kook doesn't spell it out here in black and white, I think it's very clear that that's what he's referring to. Tefillin symbolically is something which is external that you put on your head. Because it's hard to think of a mitzvah which is more looks, more external, more artificial or milachuti. Right, that you're bringing something outside and putting it on, but it really doesn't really belong there. And it's like you're trying to put something inside your head that should be there in the first place. Okay? And therefore, on Shabbat, when we have tefillin in our head, we don't need this external thing on our head. Okay? V'adavar ne'arach bichlal, ki la'adam nechutza hitkadshut chitzonit. And again, it's very clear that Rav Kook is dealing here with the symbolism of that external thing which we're putting on our head, the head which is, like the Kuzari says, is supposed to be the king, where all of our decisions are made, the intellect. Yeah. Okay. That man needs sometimes hitkadshut chitzonit, an external holiness, in order to activate that internal holiness, that essential holiness, which we have inside. We have it inside our heads, but sometimes we need that external actions, and that's what the Torah mitzvot, Ramach Evarim of Shesagidim, the idea that there are the same number of mitzvot, the number of limbs and organs that we have in the body, the idea to bring the outside, the inside out, to realize that potential. Tachlit ma'asim toriyim, today we say toraniyim rabim, hi kedech lishmor et nekudat ha'kedusha ha'pnimit. Right? The idea of many of the actions of the Torah that it commands us to do is in order to preserve and to develop that internal holiness, in order to help us achieve that potential, which again, on Shabbat, we get there after 6 days of preparation. We get there, and finally we're there. But then we need to do it again, another 6 days of external wearing Kedusha. Right? Following? You understand the idea of the symbolism? Right? That you wear it. Okay? Shegalui v'yadu lifnei yotzer ha'adam baruch hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created us, and He knows us even better than we know ourselves, shelo tiyaniknet la'adam ki ma yideo tanapulot. There's no other way of achieving that essential potential of getting in touch with ourselves without those external actions. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, till you get to Taryag 613. These are exactly what we need. Ulefi erech hitgabrut ha'kdusha pnimit ha'atzmit ba'adam. The more holy internal holiness is getting stronger and stronger, to kar pulat advarim shemesamnim hakedusha achitzonit befulot masiyot shehiviu lekach. It's like a cycle. The more internal holiness you have, the more you do external actions. The more you do external actions, the more internal holiness you have. Acharei pulot nimshichim alavavot, right? The actions help bring out the potential. But also, as soon as the potential is obviously there, and one thing strengthens the other. Kedei lahorot shehakedusha atzmit ha'ikar. Right? But here, you could ask, so what's the main point? In other words, is it the actions? were the holiness.
Which is the driver.
Yeah. Are the mitzvot a means or the end? And
well,
here,
really, we Torah mitzvot, you know, the Mekubalim say that the Torah is how to get the kavanah for the mitzvot,
Right, Rav Kook is going here in the Kabbalistic direction very clearly. What the mitzvot
the
are called.
And the lit box will say the main thing is Torah, and the mitzvot are what make you more ra'ui to be a person with Torah.
And the Kabbalists say that the mitzvot are etzot. They're good ideas. It's a good suggestion. It's so good that it's even obligatory. And this is connected with the machloket and Masechet Nida.
And Melech is Lashom Nimlach. That's connected with Eitzot.
Right. Yafe. What was I going to say?
Eitzot.
Machloket and Masechet Nida about whether Atidot Mitzvot Litbatel. Okay, and this is mamash connected with what we're going to discuss now. Rav Kook, he alludes to it a lot in many places in his writings. This is what's called antinomism.
Antinomianism.
Right? And the idea of, will the mitzvot in Yemot HaMashiach, in Olam Haba, in some later stage, will we not need these commandments? Okay, and that's directly connected with what we're going to talk about now. Kedei lo rocha kedusha ha'atzmit hi ha'ikar. In order to show that the main thing is the essential kedusha. A goy can be putting on tefillin from here till tomorrow. It's not going to do anything. A goy can be eating kosher or not talking lashon hara, and it's very nice, but that is not going to affect anything essential in him or in the world or in the heavens. That's why I said it's not. They're going aren't commanded in not talking lashon hara. It's something which is good. It's something which, you know, but that's not what's going to make the big tikkunim in the heavens or in this world. Okay, let's try and keep the comments to a minimum.
Decide to become Jewish.
Okay. Amra kedei lehorot shekedusha atzmit hi ha'ikar. Amra Torah ba'ot ha'tfilin, shehu yesod lo ra'at harshama hachitzonit shel kedushat ha'ma'asim, liman yavo ha'adam al yadam liknot ha'kedusha ha'atzmit ha'pnimit. And remember, especially the original idea is to wear tfilin all day. That constantly, whatever you're doing, you have in your mind, your heart, your actions, right? The hands, everything has that added external kedusha in order to bring out the internal kedusha. Again, liman yavo adam ayadam liknot kedusha atzmit apnimit liman tia torat Hashem beficha. Right? In the parsha of tefillin, it says that why do we wear tefillin? This isn't darshin and time of the krah. Right, we're not learning, suggesting like the Sefer HaChinuch suggests reasons for the mitzvot. Rav Kook says it's written in Sefer Shmot, in the Parsha of Tefillin. Why do we put on Tefillin? Liman tia Torat Hashem beficha. It's a beautiful diuk. I never noticed it before I saw it here. Because that is the pshat. The pshat of the Tefillin is wear the Tefillin so that it gets into you. And it comes out of your mouth. Right, that it much becomes internalized.
You're wired.
Sheshabbat v'yom tov ein tzarich ot. And here we go back to Shabbat. Why in Shabbat and Yom Tov don't we need tefillin? Klomar bahem tzarich adam litalot mitzad pnimiyuto. That is the time where once a week, on special holidays during the year, we should be internally on a high enough level to get to that kedusha without the tefillin. That we shouldn't need some external crutch to hold us up, to support us. And this comes to teach us regarding the details of many of halichot, also is the ways of, and also the halachot, the laws of the individual and the community, the nation. Shekafi hanafila pnimit, ken sarech shit malea makom litensad, shelo yipol adam aprati o aklali b'noflim ikdushot chitzoniot. Just like the Torah tells us, that during the secular week, when we fall as if it were from the level of Shabbat and Yom Tov, we need these crutches of tefillin. There will be other times in Jewish history, i.e. the Galut, where we will fall in additional falling, and we will need additional mitzvot, additional crutches, to make sure that we don't fall even more. Okay, and here Rav Kook is going to spell it out pretty soon. But one of the reasons why over the Galut, so many chumrot, so many different stringencies, strictures, and different opinions that came into Judaism from the outside, externally, he says, there's a time for that. When we fall, it's like Galut is more than chol. Right, even in Eretz Yisrael, you have Shabbat and Yom Tov, and you have Chol. In Galut, it's even more Chol than Chol. He's going to talk about soon why we even need two Yamim Tovim in Galut in order to get to that level of happiness and Kedusha that you only need one day to get to there in Eretz Yisrael.
But in Chutzlaritz, you don't. You wear Tefillin and Kol HaMoed. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't.
In Chutzlaritz, they're different minagim. Alken. Mitzad hanafila. Mitzad. No, I think Rav Kook is referring to that here, that it's not a coincidence that in Eretz Yisrael during Yom Tov nobody wears tefillin. Al ken mitzad hanafila hagdola shel klal haoma shegaram ba'avonenu pizurenu agadol v'richukenu mibet chayenu. The galut, the being furthered, taken away from the Beit HaMikdash, the house of our living, right? Beit Chayenu. It's not just a nickname. It is when a person is severed from oxygen, he becomes weak. He needs something external to pick him up. Yachad im ze atzmo garam shenishtakha Torah v'alacha bura nitrabu asfekot. When we left Eretz Yisrael, and we don't have a Sanhedrin to clarify all of the doubts, all right, what happens when there's a Sanhedrin? You sit the 71 Gedolei Hador around in one room, and they argue back and forth, and they vote, and there are no sfeikot.
And they're on speaking terms with each other.
Yeah. But what happens in Galut, especially before there was internet, and different communities were totally disconnected from other communities until you asked a question from the Gonim of Bavel. It took a half year until you got the answer back. And even then, sometimes you didn't understand it or it got lost on the way, etc., etc. What do you do in doubt? You're machmir. Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael loves the mitzvot. We love God. We don't want to take chances. And even though there are klalim, safek doraita lechumra, safek dorabanan lekula, that you can be mekel, and you should be lenient if it's a rabbinical injunction. Nevertheless, anybody who's learned halacha knows, especially in Ashkenaz, that whenever in doubt, very many poskim just took the stringent opinion. And Rav Kook says,
enough times though, people are going to go off the derech.
Maybe, but inevitable. That's something that's going to happen. Shenit rabu asfekot. ואם ריבוי הספקות יצאו בהכרח תולדות של חומרות שבכלל נתרחב החוג המעשי. Here Rav Kook is saying that it's a positive thing. Just like during the Yimei Chol, you need tefillin, you need those external, an additional external crutch, so too in Galut, we need additional external crutches. Now I just want to, I don't want to spend the next half...
Leave the cool out, though.
That's a different aspect. Let's not get sidetracked. I don't want to go over the 45-minute shiur that we learned last year on the Piskav Chacham Adif Minavi, where Rav Kook, most of you were there, and you remember, Rav Kook discusses that the prophets did not succeed in obliterating idolatry. What did succeed was when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah added takanot and gzerot and more siyagim and made more fences and more additions, and little by little we started asking more questions, and that brought more answers and more questions and more answers, until Judaism, the Mishnah, and afterwards the Gemara, and afterwards the Rishonim and the Achronim, it so preoccupies the Jewish people that all we have on our mind is the laws of Shabbat, the laws of Kashrut, the laws of this, the laws of that. And that's the beauty of Gemara. And that's, again, Chacham Adif Min Navi, Rav Kook in Sefer Orot. Somebody who wants to see it for the folks at home, you can look it up in Chacham Adif Min Navi, page 120 of Sefer Orot.
Said that people are so busy trying to figure out which bracha to say that they forget to kill somebody.
And here again, Rav Kook is saying this is a natural outcome, which apparently is in God's interest and is in our interest. Okay, this idea of chumrot. This is something we spoke about also, and again, we could spend a lot of time on this, and Yeshua, I don't want to get off the topic, I'll just spend one sentence on it, that anybody who's familiar with the Haredi community, especially in Chutz La'aretz, but also in Bnei Brak, the idea of adding on chumrot because they feel that something is missing. Something in their Judaism is missing. So you add on, and that was the same thing when, so you take more nedarim, and nedavot, and nazir, and you add on more and more and more, because something's missing. And
feeling threatened from without, I think, more than maybe from within also.
Yecholiot. I think I see the Orthodox feminist movement as the same, from a different direction, the exact same movement, where they also feel that something is missing from their Judaism. So they feel, if I'll be a chazan, or I'll read the Megillah, or I'll be the president of the shul, so that will fill the void. The real void is nationalism. The real void is Beit HaMikdash, and Nivuah, and Sanhedrin, and Korbanot, and all the things that are missing. There is a void which is there. And the question is how to fill it. Okay, so during the Galut, we filled it with additional chumrot because of all these fekot, all these questions that we didn't know exactly what to do with them. Again, this is a classic Rav Kook idea. We've mentioned this many times. Ha b'diavad shel ha'adam wa l'chatchila shel ha'kadosh baruch hu. In other words, it's clearly b'di'evid, the fact that we don't know what to do with these halachot, or Yom Tov Sheni of Galut. What day is Yom Tov, this day or that day? It's clearly b'di'evid. On the other hand, it's obviously Ritzon Hashem. Right? Like the Maharal writes in Tiferet Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give us the Torah, and it's illogical that he should leave it alone. Anything that happens in the Torah world is Ritzon Hashem. Anything that happens in Bichlal in the world is Ritzon Hashem, and how much more so in the Torah. So this is Me'et Hashem Haitazot. It's good. Sheit rachvut ma'asiti meshivat aveda ruchanit shel etzem zora nefesh shehu am. The nefesh, which used to and should be shining, like that Shabbat shining, the Yom Tov shining, the Eretz Yisrael shining, that shining is lost when we went down to Chol and then we went down to Galut. Maybe I'll just read the Piska in Orot, where Rav Kook, in page 163, Rav Kook writes, Ha'emuna bichlal eina me'ira ki'im b'kneset Yisrael ha'briya. Hashlima bechosna, b'mamlachta, b'migdasha, b'artza, b'chol kinyanei ruchaniim v'achomriim. The light of the Torah shines only to the extent that Am Yisrael is healthy, that Am Yisrael is complete, strong, that we have our kingdom, the kingdom of Shevet Yehuda, that we have our Beit HaMikdash, that we have our land, that we have all of our spiritual and physical, the mitzvot tatliyot ba'aretz, all 613 mitzvot. That is to the extent that we're strong. Im yavo adam lomar shumotzet kol milui ha'ora shel ha'torah v'mitzvah mitzad matzav ho'oveh levado, al tishmalo. If somebody in Muncie or somebody in Borough Park says, I feel total Judaism, Rav Kook says, he doesn't know what Judaism is about. You know, he thinks that he is feeling Judaism, but he doesn't even know what he's missing. If he doesn't have Eretz Yisrael, if he doesn't have the Beit HaMikdash, if he doesn't have the government of Israel, and the army of Israel, and the language of Israel, etc., etc. Okay, so the shining...
Language of Israel is Yiddish, no?
The people on the video don't know you're joking, Yehoshua. You have to say this is a joke. Okay. Ve'ele hadvarim. Shehim chitzoniyim. Be'erech yisoda shel Torah v'ikara. These external things, now we're talking about chumrot that came out of the sfeikot, out of the doubts. Him mekaymim et ha'umah b'kdushata v'emunata l'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is good, and it brings holiness, and it brings faith to the God of the people of Israel. V'nei tzarich ha'adam lizaher lo'kir ma'od kol ha'dvarim ha'chitzoniyim shegormim lishmor ha'kdusha ha'pnimit. We have to honor these things very much. Because even though technically you could say, well, it's just because of a safek, or just because of a chumrah, and it's not really mikar adin, etc. And the same thing with Yom Tov Sheni of Galut, which Rav Kook is going to bring as a classic example later on. Even if today we have calendars and we know very well which day is Yom Tov and which day isn't Yom Tov, and we know that the conservatives and the reform, they came out very strong, and we don't need Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galut anymore.
The conservative kept it.
I don't think anymore.
I am? I'm not up to date.
בכל חומרות הספקות שבהם ולדעת כל זמן שעוד לא שבו לנו כל מחמודנו מימי קדם. Right? Even though this may seem like extra baggage, Rav Kook says, don't take off the tefillin before it's time. Wear the tefillin until Shabbat. Right? Don't think we're there yet. Even if you take the antinomistic approach, that atidot mitzvot lidbatel, we're not there yet. Right? And that's why you should be wearing tefillin until the knisata Shabbat. Kol zman shein lanu melech, v'navi, v'sanedrin gdola, b'makom asher b'achar Hashem. As long as we don't have a king, we don't have prophets, and we don't have a Sanhedrin sitting there in the Beit HaMikdash, getting the Hashra'ah of the Shekhinah, helping us to develop and to find the real, accurate Torah Sheba'al Peh, b'Beit HaMikdash. Right? Where, by the way, even in the Beit HaMikdash, you can add Nidarim, you can add Nidavot, you can add on Chumrot. If you want to, that's the way to do it. She'tetzei mehem Torah l'chol Yisrael b'lo shum safek bo ra'ah. And this is going to be a true Torah that's easier to sell to people. Because if we want to try and bring people back to Torah, and this is something we just tonight... We went out with my wife. She has cousins in Tel Aviv, and not religious at all. He's a doctor, intelligent person, always asking questions on Judaism. And a lot of the questions that he and any intelligent person asks are really good questions.
Doctors in Israel are very caring people, too, unlike much more than in Chutz Lars.
And Rav Kook, in a ma'amar on the Chidush of the Sanhedrin, it's in the first edition of Otsrot HaRe'iyah on page 930, he goes into depth. We don't have time to read too much inside, about what the Sanhedrin is going to do. That on the one hand, the Sanhedrin is going to really clarify a lot of this extra baggage that was added on. There are mistakes. He said, we don't have to be embarrassed. You know, and a lot of times when we speak with non-religious people, we get defensive and we say, no, the Torah is great and the Torah is perfect and there aren't mistakes. And it's true. Mido, right? Of course there aren't mistakes. But over 2,000 years of Galut, like the Rambam says, it's possible that we forgot how to do a Truah. And anybody who speaks, who works with intelligent non-religious people, knows that you really have to leave all the cards out on the table. You got to be honest. because they're going to find the loopholes. Eventually, they're going to ask those questions. Rav Kook said, that's the beauty of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin are going to be people who are so intelligent, and these are people who speak all the languages in the world, and no secular knowledge, etc., etc. They will be respected to be on the Sanhedrin.
K-N-O-W.
They will be respected by the non-religious, and they will give answers to clarify the extra baggage, right? I don't know. There's a good chance that they'll decide that we can all eat kitniot on Pesach. Okay? And Rav Kook says, and they will be so smart and so respected that even the Charedim, who like adding on chumrot, they will have no choice also to listen to them. In other words, that both sides will be so impressed by these awesome Gedolei Ador, whose knowledge is so unbelievable, and all you have to do is just listen to them open their mouths. Today, you know, on the internet, it's not going to be difficult for people. Everyone understands Hebrew. As soon as we can get people, if Rav Kook were around today, and he would open his mouth. There's some people you just, Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam. It's enough for them to open their mouth, and you realize that he puts me in his small pocket.
But that's not how they treated Rav Kook or the Rambam or any of them in their time.
Nachon, but Bezrat Hashem, when knowledge becomes more objective, that's the advantage of the Sanhedrin.
The presence of the Mikdash is a tremendous educational tool for dropping chumras, because you can't have only glot because you're going to you're going to be maybe coaching with Beit Apsul.
Right, that's an interesting point. You can't.
My son tells me that.
Anyway, so Rav Kook here goes at length to say that a lot of this, it's not just in order to show the non-religious, yes, we have answers. The Torah really has to be Torah emet. It has to be clear. Yeah.
Now, if I'm jumping the gun and the question is going to be resolved, so please just tell me to wait, but... And I'm not sure if my question is on you or on Rav Kook here, but you said, in effect, Rav Kook is saying, because of all this, because of all the chumras that we had to add while we're in Golis, and you know the Golis is coming to an end, but we're not there yet, and therefore, figuratively speaking, don't take off the tefillin until Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my problem with that is that, first of all, the Gemara that they're basing it on isn't saying keep on your tefillin. It's that you're allowed to if you want. You can keep on the tefillin until Shabbat. But it's not saying keep it on. It's that you're allowed. It's okay. You know, it seems to me, from the language, from what I understand, it's not even a suggestion. It's like...
supposed to wear them the whole day, though.
Yeah.
Where are we getting to the conclusion that Yudavka should keep it on?
Let's see.
That is the conclusion based on this Gemara, that you should keep it on?
The truth is, your question is a good question, and I didn't think of it when I went over this Pisca. Let's keep it in mind when we see. Okay? כל הזהירות הזאת בכל החומרות הבאות מצד הספקות הם יסודי חיינו. As long as we're not there yet, all of these chumrot, including Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galut, and any of these things which will eventually be clarified, they are not just bidiyavet, they are yesod chayenu. They are an important part of our lives. V'chi ba'azivat ele advarim, she'al pi hashgacha, huchnu mirosh lishmor et hakdusha hapnimit hayisraelit, v'matzav hayirida tuchal ligrom totzaot ra'ot u'marot me'od. And if we take away Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galut, and we start being lenient regarding this and that and the other thing, or if we take off our tefillin too early, then we're going to be in bad shape, and it's going to bring totzot ra'ot u'marot.
The same thing with eating meat.
Eating.
Not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything in its right time. And obviously Rav Kook here is referring to the danger of reform and throwing out the baby with the bathwater, etc. Dome ledavar shatfilin shem yuchadim limei hachol. This is connected with the idea that tefillin are specially supposed to be worn during Yimei Chol, as long as you can, apparently. In other words, that's what I understand that he's saying here. Okay? Omnam b'Shabbat v'Yom Tov, Yimei Ha'Aliyah v'Kedusha, Shem Atzmam Ot, ve'in Tzarich b'Levi Shatan, Omnam Chalila Lidchok b'Ze et Kitzam, V'Yotzi Adam b'Tefillin Erev Shabbat im Chashecha. Right, apparently Rav Kook is going, according to that the old custom, where a person tried to wear tefillin as much as possible, right? Till the last minute. V'kachi b'midah, hi amidah, sharei od, and this is the way it should be. Sharei od lo zarcha shemesh ha-kedusha ha-atzmit. Right, the sun, the shining of the inherent, essential kedusha, that we don't need crutches anymore, it's not shining yet. Again, what is the, why do we wear tefillin? The Torah tells us. So that it should come out of your mouth, it should become, get into your head and come out of your mouth naturally. Ad shiofia or kedushata Shabbat, until all week is Shabbat. There's, all of life is Shabbat.
Underlying anti-Christian polemic here, by the way. I'll tell you afterwards.
V'akedusha ha-chitzonit shel ha-tfilin, again, the tfilin, which is a kedusha chitzonit, it's lying on the Jew, right? It's very clear that it is something which is visibly external. Titmale al yedei kedushat ha-shabbat ha-pnimit. Eventually, that will be filled with that holiness of Shabbat, which eventually all of life is supposed to be Shabbat. Yom Shekulo Shabbat. And again, Rav Kook, in several places that I mentioned before, I don't remember if I finished the sentence, I think not, where he alludes to the Gemara and Nida of Atidot Mitzvot Litbatel or not, Rav Kook takes a clear stand that yes, Atidot Mitzvot Litbatel, that eventually Mitzvot we will be doing naturally, and we won't need so many do's and don'ts telling us what to do. In other words, we will have that inherent kedusha. And again, in Otzot Riyah, he doesn't get into details. He says, Latid Lavo is a long time. Don't ask me if it's going to be here, or here, or here, or here. Right? Maybe it's just going to be in Tchiyat HaMetim. Okay? But the idea is, again,
Rambam says we don't know how it's going to be until it happens.
Yeah, but the Rambam, in this world, for sure, the Rambam doesn't leave any room for mitzvot atidot litbatel. Right? He says that's mitzvot are not going to change at all in this world.
Well, the more nebuchim of the korbanot.
He doesn't say that there aren't going to be korbanot in Beit HaMikdash. That Yishai Leibovich added on to the Rambam. V'chein be'inyanei klal ha'uma she'advarim achitzonim harchavat ha'torah b'kiyuma שנדבספו כמה דברים מצד הספקות, שתולדתם היא הגלות והפיזור, וחיסרון שופטינו ויועצינו. Right? We don't have those shoftim, those advisors, and that's why there are so many doubts, and again, so much extra external baggage, crutches, which are good as long as we need them. אמנם בין כובחו, הרי האומה מתעסקת במידה יותר רחבה במעשים של עבודת השם, מדקדקת במצווה לכל צדדי ספקותיה. Thank God, this is what is preoccupying the Jewish people for 2,000 years. שומרת שני ימים טובים בגלויות. Here he gives the example, the clear example, right? That even though, yes, we have calendars and we know that there's not a safek, we continue to do that. And that's a heavy thing, that Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galut. מפרשת שתי חלות בסוריה. Another chumrah, shaliyehem amru chazal, samuni notira et akramim. Right? That we add on a shmira around the kerem, the vineyard of the Torah. Mnei shekarmi sheli lo natarti. Because I myself did not watch the vineyard. The rabbis had to add on more shomrim. Bishvil shelo shamarti yom tov echad ba'aretz, hareini meshameret shnei yamim tovim begaluyot. Here Rav Kook brings something where it's found in the Midrash. I didn't get a chance to, I have the source written at home. I believe it's Eliyahu Rabbah. But the Ramak brings it down. I remember the Minchat Elazar in the Shelot U'Tshuvot brings in the name of the Ramak. That the idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galut, the Munkacher Rav. Minchas Luzer, they call him in Yiddish. Every time I say that name. I think it's Shimon Peres. He brings it down that why do we have what you can get in one day into Eretz Yisrael, it takes 2 days to get into Galut. And it's connected also with the Birkat Kohanim, the famous Netziv, and the Shelot U'Tshuvot, why we don't duchen in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz.
The Gra wanted to.
But, yeah, he brings down there the two stories. The Gra wanted to, and that night he was arrested, and the... was it the Aruch HaShulchan or Rav Nosson Adler who wanted to? And that night there was a fire broke out and burned down the shul. And they used the term ikvuni min hashamayim. The idea being that only in order to get to that level of simcha, you need not only Yom Tov, but 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay? And again, it's the type of thing which you could say, yeah, it's b'di'evit, but it's necessary. Okay? The b'di'evit of HaKadosh Baruch is HaKadosh Baruch
l'chatila. Week after week this year.
Aval la'achar shegarama matzav uba yirida hayta itrachvut ha'kiyum ha'ma'asi ya'af al pi sheba mitzad sfeikot shesibatam ayu kilkulim le'umim goremet kiyum v'hatzala. Right, even though it's really unfortunate, it's you could even say embarrassing, why we do Yom Tov Sheni, but the Kabbalistic reason why we do Yom Tov Sheni shows that it's lechatchila. It's good in Galut to have that Yom Tov Sheni. It's necessary to have that Yom Tov Sheni.
But bad to be in Galut.
Yeah.
A little bit confused here. Maybe you can clarify. Just simply saying, on one hand, Yom Tov Sheni is... we need it to raise up our spiritual level.
Another crutch, right?
Right. I mean, I was saying it's a, it's a sort of kapara for the fact that we were not Shomer Yom Tov properly in Eretz Yisrael.
It's not so much a kapara, but it's usually here use the lashon of Rav Kook. Yishvil shelo shamarti Yom Tov echad. It's a punishment. I guess you can call it an educational punishment.
So. How does that gel? On one hand, it's okay. You have punishment. You have to fulfill. You have to do your time in Chosaris, as it were,
yeah.
To make up for the Yom Tovim that we did not keep properly in Eretz Israel. On the other hand, it's not so much a punishment as a necessary help to us in Chosaris to raise our level up because we're missing that Kedusha of Eretz Israel.
That's the point. In other words, always remember it's an educational. Sorry,
it's a corrections facility. It's a punishment. Yeah. It's a correction.
Yeah. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all punishments are always correctional. In other words, it's not just he puts you in the corner. It's a natural outcome.
The kid who messed around in class doesn't get to go out to the playground during recess because he has to make up what he didn't do.
Okay. Nevertheless, it's something which Davka saves the Jewish people. Right, Rav Kook is saying these are very positive things. Ve'hashavat ruach hakodesh ha'ra'uy liyot malei ba'am Hashem b'libotam. Eventually, this is going to bring back the ruach hakodesh, which should be in the hearts of God's nation when we're in our rightful place. Ve'azman sheyashuv ha'matzav l'shanim kadmoniot. And the time when we will return to that previous ideal state of Yom Shekulo Shabbat, Yom Tov, Shetia haTorah kula mevureret, and the Torah will be clarified, and it will be Torah Temet, and there won't be sfeikot, and we'll be totally honest with ourselves, and with the Chilonim, and with the Charedim, and the light, and the Gaonim, and the genius of all the Gedolei Torah. Rav Kook is always is very confident that all we have to do is let the Gedolim and the Torah, let it shine, just let it shine, and it'll do itself. It will prove itself. And when it comes out of the Beit HaMikdash, with the help of the Shekhinah, which will help facilitate the truth to come out in the, and to take off the Sfeikot, HaSfeikot Yidbaruru. V'yachsiru lefi ze kama anafim ma'asim shayu murgalim ba'umam ipnei HaSfeikot. Right, and this will bring us back to original Judaism. Shebi yotam naasim himshichu vehigdilu et hakdusha yisraelit beuma ki ribuy maasim l'shem Hashem mekarev et alev leavinu shebashamayim. Again, the more mitzvot that we have, like we said at the beginning of the shiur, this idea, part of the idea of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, grab as many mitzvot as we can. In terms of galut, this preoccupation with details was something which, yes, brings us closer to our Father in Heaven. Omnam az be'eta mushara, when that happy time will come, will return, yofia or Hashem uchvodo, the light and the truth of God and the Torah and its honor. Right? This is going to bring honor. People are going to honor the Torah because it's going to be, it's not going to be, well, we don't know and we're not baki and we're like everybody. I imagine most people like myself, whenever you come across one of the Achronim or the Mishnah Berurah says, well, today we're not baki in this, so we're just, in a, you know, it's sort of a letdown, you know. So let's learn, let's take the topic. And that's part of the beauty that in the Piska that I mentioned before, Marot Sotri, yeah, the Rav Kook talks about modern science is going to help us clarify a lot of these fakeot. And this is something which not only should we not run away from modern science, we should be running to these things because we want to clarify these things.
There are Haredim that are trying to create pseudoscience because the real science shouldn't dare to impinge on the halakha.
By the way, Rav Kook there also relates to something that my brother has been working on. There's so many different Girsaot, especially in the Yerushalmi.
The Talmud, Ezra?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Talmud Yerushalmi is so full of different readings that really sometimes turn around a sugya from Heter to Isur, or Isur to Heter. And these are things which we just have to, and that's what Professor Shel Lieberman dedicated his life to, clarifying the Girsaot to the Tosefta. Not that we live from the Girsaot, but if we can clarify these type of things, that's exactly, and Rav Kook has a famous letter to Rav Yisrael Porat from Cleveland, where he started working on this idea of academic and scientific learning to clarify these type of things. Zgulat Kedusha Klalit, Or Hashem, Hanvuah, V'ruach HaKodesh, is Zgula Miyuchedet L'Yisrael Yashuvu Lanu. When we have Ruach HaKodesh, when we have Nevuah, wow, everyone's going to be wowed by this type of Sanhedrin, by these type of people. Right? You just, every time President of the United States forgets where he puts his glasses, he'll just call up the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, and he'll tell him, you know, should we go to war, should we not go to war? Where did I put my glasses? What should I say in my speech? You know, and the whole world will be coming to these Nevi'im.
All the scientists will
yeah.
The way
you know what, I didn't even think of that. I never thought of that before. Imagine the cure to cancer with the help of prophets and things like that. You know, it's just like unbelievable what you can do with prophecy.
Well people went to the scientists went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe and they got advice in what they were doing.
Okay, Vatimalei HaKedusha Pnimit, Makom HaKedusha Chitzonit Shel Eile HaMa'asim. Again, Vatimalei HaKedusha HaPnimit, that Shabbat, that Yom Tov, that essential internal Kiddusha, will take the place, Makom HaKedusha Chitzonit Shel Eile HaMa'asim, we won't need, on Shabbat you don't need tefillin. And when we get back to that stage, we won't need these external crutches as much as we need them now. שהם בערך תפילין לימי חול, לעומת קדושתם של שבתות וימים טובים עצמם. אבל אם חשיכה יוצא אדם בתפילין. And that's why even close to Shabbat, and it's getting dark, nevertheless, continue wearing the tefillin. V'chalila laniach et haprat o haklal b'lo magen shel hakedusha chitzonit. It's an interesting phrase, the way he puts it, right? Chas v'shalom, don't abandon the details or the general halacha, all those, our halacha world as we have it, below magen shel kedusha, before you have the magen, the protection, which is going to come, right? But
the danger is first from Christianity and later from the Enlightenment and reform Judaism and so on, the attempt to say, well, we already have it, so we don't need that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was pedagogical stuff for children. We are now adults. And then you see what kind of adults they behave like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain reform congregation where one after another, the rabbis of that reform congregation had affairs with women, one after another, oh, yeah. One scandal after the other, and my mother was laughing already, you know, like another one, you know.
Bad news for the Jews.
Yeah.
By the way, let me mention before that there was a rav in, I think he was in Belarus, named Rav Shmuel Alexandrov, who was very strongly, he was Shomer, he was religious, Orthodox rabbi, and very observant, but he saw the Askala movement as a messianic, a beginning of this Atidot Mitzvot Lid Batea.
We're knocking on the door, yeah.
Yeah. What, sorry. Okay, שהקדושה החיצונית וכל מיני זה, וכל זמן שלא בא בכל תוקפה ועוזה הקדושה הפנימית, יום שבת קודש, as long as Shabbat hasn't come in yet, keep the tefillin on. שרומז גם כן ליום שכולו שבת שבדושיי השם ישובו, ודיי השם ישובו, ציון ברינה, ושמחת עולם על ראשם. Yeah, Rav Cook does it again. Just when you figure, hey, okay, fine, I understood. He hits you with this pasuk, which just summarizes everything beautifully. Let me just, for those who didn't catch it, Rav Cook here is very clearly referring to that example, which everyone was always giving of, let's do away with Yom Tov Sheni, let's do away, we don't need this extra Simchat Yom Tov. Rav Cook says, yeah, the day will come where Simchat Olam Ye'al Rosham, right? We won't need that tefillin on our heads, right? We
will have permanent simcha, in other words.
Yeah. We'll have that Yom Shekulo Shabbat. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful drashava pasuk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The halachist and the philosopher and then on top of it the poet, the whipped cream and the cherry on top.
And the Tanakh commentator. Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
I've always been perplexed by the tendency to use Yom Tov Sheni as an example of gullus that's going to come to an end. First of all, unless I'm terribly misinformed, even after the Geula Shleima, we've got the Beit HaMikdash and everything, after everything, there's still occasionally going to be Jews in Chutzlaretz for whatever good reason, you know, on Shlichut somewhere, or on business, or in an embassy, or something. There's still going to be a Jews in Chutzlaretz.
Do it over the internet, Avi.
Do what over the internet?
Business.
So no Jew will ever leave Eretz Yisrael for any reason? Well,
no, but even so, the Sanhedrin, there's a very good chance the Sanhedrin, it's mamash connected with what we're saying. In other words, your educated guess is as good as mine. Will they say, okay, you know, today the Geula is here and we really don't need it? Or are they going to say, well, if a person does happen to be in Chutz La'aretz, etc., etc., then, like the Ramak brings down the name of the Midrash, well, you know, there's, that's the price that he has to pay. In other words, whether Sanhedrin does have the power to do away with it, on the other hand, maybe they will keep it.
Why would they do away with it? If we go back...
Because anybody who... Years ago, because any Jew...
No, but the candle is going to be unfit.
No, no, anybody, when, any Jew who's in Kuzlaris is only there temporarily. Then.
Doesn't make any difference. If once we have the Sanhedrin, the calendar will be unfixed. The calendar will once again... We're not going to have the Luach Shana that we have. We're not going to have any Luach Shana. We're going to have a Luach Chodesh. That's all we'll ever have.
Yeah, you'll get
because
all,
it'll once again be...
As soon as they say Mekudesh on Harabayit, you'll get a text message automatically. You'll be subscribed.
Yeah, and it'll be coming out of... And you can get your faxes. You can get in Chutz Laaretz on Shabbat. In other words,
Rosh Hashanah, though.
If Chazal did decide to keep it, you know, it was Beseder. You know, we can understand why. On the other hand, they will have the power to do away with it.
You conceive of a world where you won't know up to 15 days from Rosh Chodesh until the Sukkot or Pesach. You conceive in this world you wouldn't know within 15
Rosh Hashanah?
Days. So Rosh Hashanah, even Eretz Yisrael, it's not Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galilot.
That makes it worse.
It's even Eretz
Yisrael. That makes it worse, not better.
No, I'd say I have that.
What? It's...
You could make a case for it being...
We'll see what they decide. But, you know, it could... You can see the logic either way.
Or how about in the past, before the Korban, when, you know, before the... It seems to me, the word Galus has two meanings. A temporal one and a physical one. There's the temporal galus, which is until the geula.
Yeah.
There's galus as opposed to geula, and there's galus as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, which strikes me as two different ideas. You know, so the galus that we're waiting for, that we're waiting to end, is for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt and the Mashiach to come.
The two ideas are interconnected.
But they're not the same. They're connected, of course, but they're not the same.
Oh. Baruch Hashem, we've arrived to a stage in Jewish history today where we can actually see, okay, A, B, and C have been fulfilled, D and E, not yet. There is this Bein HaShemashot, but this is very clearly a temporary stage. You know, it's... That's what the Navi Zechariah.
It's Shabbat Acharei Chatzot. Erev Shabbat Acharei Chatzot.
It's Karev Yom Asher Lo Yom Velo Laila. Vayale Et Erev Yehor. It's a temporary stage.
That's because nobody goes to sleep anymore because of the artificial lighting and the internet.